Falkhead, ND, Salisbury. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia. August 17, 1899. Dear Brethren Falkhead and Salisbury, I would be pleased to be with you, my brethren, if this were the will of the Lord, but I cannot leave my work. We are praying for you, for we feel just as great an interest in the work you are trying to do in Melbourne as in the work we are trying to do in this part of the Lord's vineyard. The Lord's angels are round about you in North Fitzroy, as we know they are round about the workers in Kooranbong. I wish to reveal to the people, for their encouragement, the light which the Lord has been pleased to impart. The publishing house is a center. It is a representative of the truth we claim to believe, and the church in Melbourne should feel that it is honored in having among it this printing office to give character to the message that comes from the press and publications to go into the highways and byways. This institution is God's instrumentality to send forth the messages of truth to the people in clear lines. The workers in the publishing house are highly honored in having a place in it, and if they are daily learners in the school of Christ, the Lord will give these apprentices wisdom to discern the good and choose the blessings which it is their privilege to enjoy in connection with the work. All may realize that faith without works is dead, being alone. When the workers in connection with the Echo Office combine faith and works, they will send forth precious rays of light into the moral darkness of the world. Those who are engaged in any branch of the work are acting a noble part in doing service for God. They are to stand loyal and true at their post of duty, appreciating the privilege of so close a connection with heavenly instrumentalities. Angels are supervising the work, and you are cooperating with the ministry of the delegates of heaven. In all your work you may truly say, "The Lord is here." Let your silent prayers go up to God in acknowledgement of His blessings. Be thankful, and the Lord will give you wisdom and understanding. I would speak especially to the believers in Melbourne. Pray every morning and evening that the Echo Publishing House may have God's richest blessing upon it. This institution may be one of the most successful educating schools in business and spiritual lines. We do not half appreciate the mercies and blessings of God. Let no murmurs or complaints come from your lips, for angels hear these words. The Lord will be pleased if you in Victoria and we in New South Wales will take hold heartily and sustain the publishing institution with our prayers and our means, and encourage the hearts of those who carry the heavy burdens. Do not encourage criticism and complaining, for this is the most detrimental commodity you can deal in. It is Satan's goods, and you need not pass it round. A grand work is being done by those who handle the press. The sheets that come from the groaning press to be prepared as tracts and bound up as books are to go forth to visit all the places of the earth. There should be canvassers who will do faithful service in this work. When the Lord's voice calls, whom shall we send, and who will go for us? The Divine Spirit puts it into the hearts of men and women to answer, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah 6, verse 8. But bear in mind that the live coal from the altar must first touch your lips and cleanse you from all impurity. Then the words you speak will be wise and holy words. The Lord would have many take a part in this grand work who are consecrated, whose hearts are humble, and who are willing to engage in any line of work that demands their service. All are not to be canvassers, for then there would be no printers, editors, or managers. And if all were printers, there would be no canvassers. God will fit every one for the work who will seek to follow Him. If those who take up the canvassing work are thoroughly converted, they will reflect light and do honor to God by speaking a word in season to those who are willing to hear. The Lord will cooperate with all who are in earnest in the work, as He cooperated with Daniel and his three companions. Of these youth we read, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." Daniel 1, verse 17 19:20. When the Lord cooperates with the human agent and the human agent cooperates with God, marked advancement is made in all learning, in business lines, and in spiritual knowledge. For the Lord opens the understanding that His faithful children who honor Him may continually advance. Church members in Victoria should consider it a privilege to have their children connected with the publishing house. We unite with you heartily, with our prayers, our energies, and our sympathies. As you enlarge your work of bookmaking, you will increase your school of apprentices, and those who are educating these youth should realize that they are doing God's work. Each youth should learn some part of the business and then climb higher, to learn in advanced lines, until he is complete in all parts of the work and is prepared in his turn to become an educator. It is the privilege of the instructors to cultivate tenderness, kindness, and true courtesy by manifesting these graces to every student in the office. Every youth is the Lord's property, to be watched over, cared for, loved, and treated courteously. When youth are determined to have their own way, let not the parents of these youth receive the testimony of their children, but go directly to those at the head of the institution and learn the truth. Parents, teach your children to respect and honor the men whom God honors and respects by placing them in positions of trust. The Divine Spirit puts the desire to engage in the work into the heart of the man whom He can qualify for that place. Some are fitted for one branch of the work and some for another. Some, as sons of consolation, are to carry the message to the sorrowing, the disappointed, and the brokenhearted, and angels of God will be with these workers. But those who are prepared to do God's service in any line will not seek the easiest place. Said Christ, "He that will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34. There is a special work to be done in ministering to the most hopeless cases. The workers can possess a science of simplicity and eloquence that will search out and help the most needy, the class for which the sermonizers feel no special burden. Was not Christ the greatest teacher the world ever knew? Was He not the Son of the infinite God, and yet He said, "I do nothing of myself"? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but my Father which dwelleth in me, He doeth the work. John 8, verse 28, 14:10. The true worker should ever bear in mind that he is doing service for God. Missionary work does not consist merely of preaching. It includes personal labor for those who have abused their health and have placed themselves where they have not moral power to control their appetites and passions. These souls are to be labored for as those more favorably situated. Our world is full of suffering ones. God has written His law upon every nerve and muscle, every fiber and function of the human body. The indulgence of unnatural appetite, whether for tea, coffee, tobacco, or liquor, is intemperance and is at war with the laws of life and health. By using these forbidden articles, a condition of things is created in the system which the Creator never designed. This indulgence in any of the members of the human family is sin. But how much more sinful is it in those who profess to be Christians, who say they are Abraham's children? They are not, because they do not practice the works of the Lord. If they were following Jesus, they would deny unnatural appetite. Every gratification of unnatural appetite produces disease in the physical system. The eating of food that does not make good blood is working against the laws of our physical organism and is a violation of the law of God. The cause produces the effect. Suffering, disease, and death are the sure penalty of indulgence. As those whom God has called and chosen, we are under obligation to become intelligent in regard to the difference between eating to live and living to eat. Look at the world and see the worship that is paid to eating, drinking, and dressing. It is carried into every phase of life. Needless worries and burdens are brought upon the family by wishing to be hospitable in entertaining visitors. they overwork to prepare a great variety for the table. An overabundance is eaten. The digestive organs are given too large an amount of work to do. The distended stomach cries out for relief. Hold, hold, put no greater burden upon me than I can carry. But the protest is unheeded. These dinners and teas and suppers are a burden and an injury.